And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Connor Newt and Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Rex Road on vacation this week. He will be back next week, and we wish him well on his vacation. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt. Well, I think it's run into everything in the studio so far this morning.
Nothing's broken yet.
How we doing? What's going on?
Aside from not being able to walk properly, apparently, I'm good. I have fortunately not caused any major damage to the studio. But other than that, we're good.
The day is young. Morning is young.
Oh, it's going to happen. Like still, these cameras are going down soon.
Still plenty of time around here. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Well, doing great, thanks. They have the Titans-Falcons preseason replay on NFL Network right now.
Oh, good.
So, waking up with some wonderful preseason football replays.
Yes.
And Charmed, of course, on the other TV.
Yeah, a lot of things going on around here. Rex Road can hardly focus sometimes when Charmed is on.
Oh, he's missing some quality episodes this week.
I will
have to say.
He is. I mean, maybe he's watching them on vacation. I have no idea. But we're a big Charmed fan on this program. We got a lot going on in the program today. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will be with us at 7:15. We will get into Joey Aguilar being named the starting quarterback for Tennessee and all things Tennessee Vols with him later in the program. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will join us at 8. We will get into all things Titans with him. So looking forward to all that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The story from Titans practice yesterday, Cam Ward, Jeffrey Simmons getting into a bit of a scuffle, I guess you would call it. You know, obviously, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, this is not the first time he's been involved in a practice altercation. It didn't sound like it was an enormous deal, but I wasn't there. So let's hear from a man who was. Teron Davenport joined DVD yesterday and gave his account as to what he saw between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons. Here's what TD had to say yesterday on DVD.
It happened right in front of me. I was standing in the end zone, and I think really what you have to do is take it back to the previous play, right? Because Julius Chestnut, he bounced one outside. They're in the low red zone. Chestnut bounced one outside, and he outraced the DB. I think it was Imani Hooker, outraced him to the end zone. And the whole reason he was able to bounce it outside was because J.C. Latham got a good block, kind of in the way of Simmons. And, you know, J.C. Latham, he's going to talk. And he and Simmons, they probably have the biggest rivalry out of the two on the team, if not Cam Ward and Simmons, you know. So Latham was talking to him all the way up and into the huddle. And, you know, Simmons was talking back, so they spotted the ball. They called the play, and Ridley ran a really nice route. He was able to catch a touchdown on Jarvis Brownlee Jr., and he was walking towards Cam, and Cam was walking to him. But for whatever reason, Cam stopped at Jeffrey Simmons. He pushed him, and he did the Zombieland celebration, and Simmons didn't like that. So two hands to the face, and next thing you know, everybody's around. And like Dan Moore said, right, you know, it goes without saying, protecting the quarterback and nobody being allowed to touch him, and that's what happened. I personally think Brian Callahan could have made a statement, right? I think it was a missed opportunity. He should have thrown Simmons out of the practice, even though Cameron Ward started it. But, you know, the guy who retaliates, he's always the one that gets caught.
That was TD yesterday on with DVD. And an interesting point there at the end of it, right, of, you know, Callahan maybe missing an opportunity to throw Simmons out of practice. You know, we talked about that last year with Simmons when Simmons was getting into altercations. And this was before I think he got into the altercation with Andrew on the sideline over there last year. But the opportunity Brian Callahan had to throw him out of practice last year, and he didn't do it. Let me start here, okay? You know, we've talked a lot about Jeffrey Simmons over the past few years and about, you know, some of the training camp fights, some of the tweets. And by the way, he tweeted again last night and basically said, you know, him and Cameron Ward are fine, and don't be letting the media make too much of this. It happens in between the white lines out there. I largely agree. Like, I don't really think this is a huge deal.
Yeah.
On the surface of it. I mean, yes, I would like to see, I guess, Jeffrey Simmons stop being at the center of this every time for the Titans, but that's the player he is. He plays with a lot of passion, all that stuff. I mean, really the one thing I will say that I've got a problem with is just don't touch the quarterback. I understand if you're the quarterback. Like, first off, Cam Ward, maybe stop getting in the face and provoking the defensive lineman. Let your offensive lineman do that, because you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you can get hurt in an actual game when it's not your teammate. So probably something to watch there. I like the competitiveness. I like the fire from Cam Ward. On the Jeffrey Simmons front, I like his competitiveness too. I would just say don't touch the quarterback. Like, just keep your hands off the quarterback. Other than that, I don't really have a huge issue with it. It doesn't sound like it was some brawl out there. It sounds like it was basically a two-hand shove that Ward gave Simmons, and that Simmons returned to Ward, and then everybody got in each other's face after that. So sounds like that's the way that things went down yesterday at practice, but interesting point there from TD on the Callahan front.
Yeah, I completely agree with TD, actually. I agree with you as well. I think this whole story is kind of overblown. You got to think these are the two most talkative people on the team, Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons, and they've gotten into it before this offseason, so it doesn't surprise me that they got into it again, especially on a day where it was, 115 degrees outside or whatever it is right now.
It's pretty hot.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. I think that's a factor. Simple explanation for a complicated story, I guess. But if I'm Brian Callahan, I would have tossed Simmons, because you cannot put your hands on the quarterback. I don't care in what capacity it is. If that guy goes down and it's your fault, then that is a major problem
I've got with it. Like, you can't touch the quarterback. And this actually happened, in a different scenario last week. Like, Shamar Stewart in Cincinnati ended up colliding with Joe Burrow at practice, and everybody just went nuts. Like, what are you doing, you idiot?
Yeah.
Keep your hands off the quarterback. Like, good teams do not shove their quarterback in practice and throw him to the ground. So, again, look, I'm not going to make too much of a big deal of this. Like, it was a shoving match, and everybody's fine. And, Cam Ward, hopefully when the season comes around, we'll let his offensive lineman get in the face of the defensive tackle rather than him doing that. But that's the main takeaway I have, is just like, let's try to keep our hands off the quarterback here. Because if Cam Ward goes down over a stupid training camp incident, I mean, what a Titan story that would be to have that happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. I think it's always kind of interesting to see Jeffrey Simmons always at the center of these kinds of things. And I don't think that's a testament to he has bad character or whatever. I think that's just kind of the player he is. Like I said, him and Cam Ward, this training camp, have been the most vocal out there, and they've tend to get into it a couple times. But, yeah, if I'm Callahan, I would have totally just set an example, tossed Simmons from the practice just because he touched the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback wears that red jersey for a reason. So if Cam Ward were to go down because of that, then that would be a different issue. But I don't think this is a major deal. I don't think we should be overblowing this the way some of the media is. It was a simple training camp practice scuffle. It's nothing more, nothing less. No one was injured. There was no brawl. I think that's all it is. It's just a skirmish.
Well, in Simmons, like, Simmons is, I don't know if controversial is the right word, but we've talked a lot about Simmons over the last couple of years around here, and there are some Titans fans that absolutely love Jeffrey Simmons. And look, make no mistake, I think Jeffrey Simmons is the best player on this roster.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, it's pretty clear.
Low
bar. I think he's the best player on this roster. So they need him to elevate, and they need him to be better than he's been the last couple of years, particularly with what he's getting paid, and we'll see whether or not he does that this year. But, like, this part about Simmons, it's always been there. Like, he's always kind of had that fiery side to him. I'm cool with it as long as it doesn't go over the line. Like, don't be getting personal foul penalties in games that cost your team 15 yards. That's how you lose football games. Don't do that. And we've seen that happen from time to time, so I don't like that. And again, like, you got to have, I think, some restraint if you're Simmons. I understand that Cam Ward is up in your face talking, and TD did a good job there of explaining what happened the play before of, Simmons getting kind of walled off by J.C. Latham and then Latham running his mouth after that too. And on the surface, again, I don't have a problem with any of that. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I kind of like the barking back and forth between offensive linemen and defensive linemen. You just got to show a little bit more restraint if you're Jeffrey Simmons when you look up and say, oh, that's a quarterback. Yeah, I probably don't need to touch him. That's the only thing I ask.
No, I agree. The only thing is we're not talking about a lack of energy today, are
we? That's true.
So maybe that's a good thing.
That is true.
Coming fiery.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Take your thoughts on the Cam Moore, Jeffrey Simmons scuffle. Is that what we're calling it? We'll go scuffle.
Scuffle
yesterday at practice. We got a lot of things on the Titans front to get into this hour. We will do that as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Some thoughts to get to on the Ward-Simmons scuffle at Titans practice yesterday. Anthony on the YouTube chat says, just another example of Callahan being a soft coach, which of course will equal a weak, undisciplined team. Ben says, Callahan most likely not it. He didn't even learn from last year to throw him out. I still don't even see what he's good at. Talking about Brian Callahan there. So a couple of Titans fans that we're hearing from that are not very happy with Brian Callahan not throwing Simmons out of practice yesterday. So, look, yes, would I have liked to see him throw it out of practice too? I guess. I mean, I don't know exactly what period of practice that was at or how close they were to being done or any of those things. But, yeah, show a little bit of a backbone as a coach, throw him out of practice, and basically the point would be send the message that you don't touch the quarterback. That's what I keep coming back to in this whole thing is just let's stop touching the quarterback at practice. That would be great. Put a stop to it before it ever becomes a problem.
Yeah, no, that's my number one problem with it as well. I guess if I'm Brian Callahan, I would have probably made the move to toss him just to show example and backbone and stuff like that. But I can see where fans are frustrated with that. You want a coach to have backbone and to have control of the team. And I guess from an outsider perspective, if you weren't there, you and I weren't there, Robbie. So it does look like things got out of control. I think TD laid it out perfectly and he was right there. So he knows exactly what happened. I think if Jeffrey Simmons was to go after anyone, it probably should have been JC Latham based on what I heard from TD. But I don't know. I don't think this is an example of, what this team is about to be. I think it's just a one example of things that happen when it gets hot out on practice field and you have a practice and you get intense. That's just kind of what happens. But yeah, if I was Brian Callahan, I probably would toss him just because backbone sets an example and kind of sets the tone for the next practice.
Well, I'll read this piece from TD's piece at ESPN.com. So Simmons and Ward were separated, but that was after Simmons' helmet was pushed off during the scuffle. Ward returned for the next play while Simmons came off the field. Practice was over two plays later. Titans coach Brian Callahan had the team run after practice. So you're talking about the very end of practice. It's hot. And they went and ran at the end of practice, which is not the first time they've done that, I think. So
yeah, they've run.
They've run a lot. So hey, conditioning. They're gonna be well conditioned out there. So that's good to see. So again, I'm not gonna sit here. We're not gonna spend a whole lot much more time on this today. We'll get into it with Gentry a little bit late in the show. I do think it was probably blown up a little bit too much yesterday on social media. That's also a sign of where we're at right now. We're in the middle of training camp. There's one preseason game left, and we're still quite a bit a ways away from regular season football, so things like this become more of a story. I had Charles Robinson texting me about it last night too. So
what the hell happened?
It grabs your attention. It grabs a headline out there when you're talking about your star defensive tackle and your first overall pick quarterback getting into it a little bit at practice. We'll see what this means in terms of Brian Callahan. Are the Titans going to be soft this year? I keep going back to the same thing when we have these type of discussions. And we talked about this with energy level. We've talked about this with a lot of things with the Titans. How much of it is they don't have energy level when it gets to the time to play the game? How much of it is they're soft, and how much of it is they're just not very good? Like that to me is what it all kind of comes back to. Now, you know, the one thing I will say on the softness front, I think clearly last year they are very upset with the way other teams ran the ball on them. Can you prevent teams from doing that this year? Like, can you prevent teams from just gashing you in the run game? And again, some of that comes down to personnel too, just how equipped are you to handle it. But I do think that, you know, at times, you know, stopping the run can be a mentality. And I thought in the Washington game in particular last year, I'm not going to say they quit out there, but you saw it. Like, they got absolutely gashed in that game. And it didn't look like they had a whole lot of interest in making some adjustments and stopping people out there. So can you avoid just absolute disasters like that this year on the running game? Can you put a stop to that if you're Sweat and Simmons and that front? But, you know, the softness part of it, I think we probably overblow that term a little bit out there when it comes to professional football. Now, the discipline is something. Now, is this going to be a disciplined team? Because with the lack of talent that the Titans have, what you can't have is a lack of talent and a lack of discipline, because that's how you get killed in the NFL. Like, if you're picking up personal foul penalties or you're not committed enough to hold your block as long as you need to hold it, like all these things, like there's discipline involved. If you're jumping, you know, false start left and right and you're just setting your drives back all the time, there's got to be a level of discipline to offset some of the lack of talent that we know is on this roster right now.
I think my concern is that they're going to talk themselves into situations they can't get out of. Like, I was watching, they said it in the Bucs game, and then they doubled down on it last week. But Charles Davis was adamant that Denard Wilson told him that no one is going to be able to run the ball on the Titans this year. And we saw what happened when they said that last year. Everyone, in fact, did run the ball on the Tennessee Titans. So I think that's my concern, and that's kind of what this whole scuffle raised for me, is that they're going to get themselves into situations that they can't get out of on the field. Like, not even from a personal foul standpoint. If Jeffrey Simmons goes up to the wrong guy and pisses him off, there are players in this league that'll make you, you know, earn it and burn you off for that. Like, the top-level players. And the Titans play some tough competition this year as far as top-level players. So I think that's just where my concern is that they're going to dig a hole that they can't crawl out of.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jason in Hendersonville to the program. Jason, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. I don't disagree with the coach, you know, needing to throw him out. But, I mean, I don't know how many people out there I speak for, but I had a coach once tell me that you do your talking with your play on the field. And right now, about all I see out of Simmons is really him running his mouth. So, I mean, he needs to either step it up or step on. Because the NFL and the Titans were here before him, and they'll be here after him. And but, yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous how he'll run his mouth. But, I mean, where have we seen the play? That, you're right. They ran the ball all over us last year. I think that's his. And when I was coaching, and my coach to me, I tell my guys on defense, you can celebrate with your defensive players when you make a good play. Or my offense, you can celebrate with your offensive players, but you're not going to taunt the other half of the ball field. We're going to do our talking with our play on the field. And so, I mean, tell Jeffrey, if I was a coach, I'd say, look, man, you're just going to have to do your talking with your play. And stay away from my quarterback.
Yep.
We're getting sick of it.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, that's the other part. Again, I don't have much of a problem with Simmons talking as long as it's not leading to stupid stuff. Like, don't be getting personal foul penalties. But, you know, having said that, like, we all know that there needs to be an uptick in production from him this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, you know, and, you know, we can point to excuses if you want to of he's not had a great group around him rushing the passer the last few years, which has been accurate. The team around him's not been very good. All those things are true. But independent of that, like, the Titans are paying him to be an elite player, and they need an uptick in production from him this year. And we'll see. Look, he's lost the weight.
Yep.
I'm very interested to see what that actually means by the time the regular season comes around, and what that's going to look like in terms of his production, both in the run game and getting after the quarterback, which this team is desperately going to need. So I've got an open mind to it. I've got an open mind to maybe him being really, really good this year. But I do. I need to see it. This is the year I need to see it from Jeffrey Simmons.
I think he has the physical skills to do it. I really do. Like, he has the talent and the skill level and the build to do it. It's just all mental for him. It's, can he put aside the talking and the childishness of his personality, I guess, and just play football? Like, that's all we need to see from you. I don't need to see you jawing with the quarterback every other play. Just go sack the quarterback and show us that you're capable of doing that.
So back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Is Rex Road, where's he at? No offense to other guys. He okay?
Yeah, he's just on vacation. He's good.
Oh, okay. So in a way, I kind of admire the Titans for what they're going through right now, because it seems like a couple months ago, that's what a lot of them said, is that they's going to be trash talking each other at practice, and it seems like they're really setting out to do that to one another. But I also wish that they would talk more openly, maybe about getting better at fundamentals or developing a game plan or sticking to, you know, how to be a better team. Because I used to coach youth football, and I really just don't understand how much a better team is gonna be by talking smack to one another. And I really don't want to see Cam Ward get involved in it, because he can be just as guilty and get involved and get a 15-yarder as well. Whenever he's out there talking, he can react and be put in a situation. And that's just not really how I would want my first pick learning from, a leader on the team. And this could just be a little bit deeper, but do you think, is Simmons like trying or making a cry out to get traded by others? Or like what is this? Because, or is he just bored? Does he need to play a preseason game to get some of this out of his systems? He knows he'll hit somebody else, because I don't know. There's just a lot going on, a lot to process. And, again, we weren't there. But I just don't necessarily understand how this is making you a better team.
Yep. Thanks, Jared.
Anyway,
appreciate it.
All right, Mel.
Well, look, this is Jeffrey Simmons. Like, I don't think this is like new for him, right?
I mean, at this point, he's going to talk. He's always going to talk. He always has. I don't think there's any way you can completely rein that in.
Yeah, like I don't think that this is like him overly frustrated or wanting out or anything like that. This is Jeffrey Simmons. Like, I think that's just what it is.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's the NFL. Again, you know, I understand. When you're talking about like high school football, you don't want your guys talking all that much. But right. I do think it's a different thing in the NFL. Like, frankly, just go watch an NFL game and watch people mic'd up. You get away with talking more in the NFL.
Yeah.
You just do. Like,
they're adults.
They're adults. It's professional sports. The officials are trained. I mean, unless it's just super egregious, for the most part, you're getting away with stuff. So, like, I think there's an environment there that is conducive to trash talk. And again, on the surface, I have no problem with the trash talk. Basically, all I have a problem with is just keep your hand off the quarterback. That's really my main issue.
Yep.
Keep your hand off the quarterback.
That's where I am. I think this is being a bit overblown with Jeff's personality, because that's just the kind of person he is. Do I think he needs to rein it in a little bit? Yeah, of course. Don't touch the quarterback. But I think he needs to put his play before his, you know, talk. That's just my opinion on it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Plus, how are we feeling about the AFC South to this point in camp? We got a quarterback competition in Indy, an entirely different offensive line for Houston, and then there's Jacksonville and the circus that they always are. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Sounds take on Louisville at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So we are deep into training camp at this point. Regular season is coming into view. At this point, one more preseason game in a couple weeks, and you get to the regular season in the NFL. Taking a look around the AFC South, the Colts are close to naming a starting quarterback. This according to their head coach, after their preseason game on Saturday to the Green Bay Packers. Richardson, Daniel Jones, in a quarterback competition. Shane Steichen said, quote, "I've seen obviously 3 weeks of it, so I'd like to have a decision here shortly." Says he's very close to making a decision, which means it's probably going to come here in the next few days would be my guess. Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, neither one of them have been overly inspiring to this point in camp, but I'm interested to see which way he goes here. My thought on it is if it's close, I'd probably go Richardson because you're still hoping that there's some level of upside there. I mean, I think we know at this point what Daniel Jones is. Daniel Jones has been in the league. Daniel Jones is 28 years old. And if it's still really – like if you feel like it's really close between those two, I would go Richardson. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to go Jones. And I think there have been some things that Steichen has said along the way that if you read between the lines, it kind of feels that way. He talked the other day about the operation, communication in the huddle, checks, getting guys on the same page, looking across and seeing what the defense is doing and making sure you're in the right spot offensively. And we saw just a couple weeks ago, right? Like Anthony Richardson didn't see something at the line of scrimmage and got himself killed out there in a preseason game. And I still think there's a lack of faith that Richardson is really confident in what he's seeing out there. And I think because of that, Jones is going to end up winning the job, even though I don't think that's a good move at all for Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both going to see some playing time at some point this season, just because I think whichever one starts will be so bad, they'll have to put in the other one, and it'll be a cycle. The Colts are going to find themselves in the hunt for a quarterback here in the next few years, just because I think Richardson was not ready out of college. I mean, you know this, Robbie. He wasn't anything special at Florida, in my opinion. I never saw him as an NFL prospect. So when he got drafted number 4 overall, I was like, they better set him for a year. He absolutely needs it. Then they didn't, and he showed you the consequences of that decision. So I think the Colts have set themselves back in the quarterback market for quite some time. And if I were Steichen, this is where I would disagree with you. I think I would send out Daniel Jones just to see what different result you can get with him. But if he's bad, obviously, I think you pull him and you put Richardson back in.
I just think he is bad. And look, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe the regular season comes around. But
I think it's a fair assumption.
how he ended in New York, the reports on how he's played in camp to this point, I just think Daniel Jones is no good. And I would rather take my chances and giving another opportunity for the young kid that you drafted number 4 overall to see if he can figure it out at some point before you have to go down that road of getting back into the quarterback wilderness. Look, I don't have if they went the other way and they started Richardson, I don't have confidence that he's just all of a sudden going to turn it on and figure it out.
No.
I think he has largely been ruined, and I'm not sure what was there to begin with other than the incredible physical attributes, right? Like, I mean, the testing that he did at the combine was insane. Like, it was it was probably the greatest like physical attributes from a quarterback we've seen. He can throw it a mile, but if you can't look across the line of scrimmage and see what you're looking at from a defensive standpoint and put your team in the right adjustments, make the right checks at the line of scrimmage, if you don't have that part of it down, it's really hard to play winning football in the NFL. So, like, I don't have confidence in either one of them, but I would as an NFL fan, I'd rather watch Anthony Richardson than Daniel Jones go out there and just chuck the ball to the other team.
I mean, we've seen guys, maybe not to the level of Anthony Richardson, but we've seen guys take massive jumps in the draft because of those physical traits. I mean, look at Trey Lance. Trey Lance was drafted number 3 overall, still has yet to, you know, show anything. Started, 2 games for the 49ers, then got hurt, and then we never saw him again. I mean, there are guys like that all the time. I think the Colts have just fallen into the trap of them all with Anthony Richardson, and they're set back. Like, I don't think either of these quarterbacks are the answer for their franchise, and I think they're just going to be in mediocre land until they figure out where to find an elite quarterback.
Well, Mike says, you know, the Colts are tanking for Arch Manning. I don't think that's what's going on. First off, as we've said, like, I don't think Manning's coming out after this year. Let's watch Arch Manning play college football, see how good he is. Let's not just say that
for every single bad team.
Like, I, you know, we'll see how good he is. I think he's going to be good, but let's go see it.
Yeah.
At first. And you know, you can take it for gospel or not if you want to, but, you know, Archie Manning did say that a few weeks ago that Arch is not coming out of the draft this year. So I don't know what that means. We'll see what that ends up looking like. I've always thought he's going to stay the next 2 years at Texas because that's what his family does. They stay in college. So we'll see what that looks like at that point. But beyond that, like, look, the Colts, I can promise you, Chris Ballard, he does not want Anthony Richardson to fail. Like, you know, Jim Irsay has passed away, and there's a new regime in there now with Indianapolis with his daughters leading the way. And I have no idea how they're going to handle things, how they're going to operate, you know, what their kind of mindset is for the timeline here. But I think for a lot of people, you look at Chris Ballard specifically, and it's kind of fascinating that he's still there given the lack of success that they've had there recently. Now, you know, you bring up the Richardson thing. You know, I was screaming about that the moment they drafted him, that they should not play him, and they did. And basically, you know, Chris Ballard a few weeks ago was like, yeah, that was Jim Irsay's call. Yeah, it was Irsay that wanted to throw him out there. So maybe that's why there's been some grace with Ballard. I don't know. But the bottom line is, if they're really bad this year and Daniel Jones is a disaster and Richardson doesn't get any better and they're picking another quarterback, that whole operation in Indianapolis is probably starting over. You're probably finding a new head coach and you're probably finding a new general manager, and then you're going from there. So I don't buy that there's some, you know, tanking going on in there in Indianapolis. I think they want this to work. I just have my doubts that it's going to.
Yeah, no, it's, I think it starts from the top and it's trickled on down to the bottom. I mean, look at their roster construction. You got a mediocre offense. I mean, I guess you have a good running back in Jonathan Taylor. Your defense has been good and then slowly declining, and now I can't really point to any pieces on the defense that I think are true elite defenders. So it starts at the top, and if it really was Jim Irsay's call to start Anthony Richardson, then that's on ownership. But it's just, they're a disaster right now. As are most teams in the AFC South, but they particularly are a disaster.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Colts. We'll continue to look around the AFC South at this point in training camp as well. Coming up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Going through the AFC South, quarterback competition in Indianapolis. The Texans have shuffled their entire offensive line. You know, Cam Robinson is in now. You know, Larry Tunzel's gone. They drafted Ariante Ursary in the second round. So they've got a revamped, new-look offensive line. And, you know, we've heard John McClain on this station discussing the Texans' offensive line from last year and how much of a problem it was. And now they've reshuffled that thing. So we'll see if it's meaningfully better. We'll see if it's just as bad as it was last year, or maybe if it's even worse. That's a huge question to me for them. Like, you feel good about Stroud. I think you feel good about their wide receivers. I feel really good about their defense. Like, I think their defense is really good. So they're clearly, to me, the best team in the AFC South. But the offensive line, if it's really, really good and they've changed it for the better, then maybe do you start to put them in the conversation with the Baltimores and the Buffaloes and you know, the Kansas Cities of the world? Or if they don't, are they just the best team in a bad division, and by the time the playoffs come around, they're going to get smoked? So we'll see what happens with Houston. Jacksonville continues to be interesting to me. It's an entirely different regime in there now, with Gladstone at the GM, Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. We had Charles Robinson on last week, and he kind of talked about the plan for Travis Hunter, of how they could deploy him, and maybe it's not just as simple as he's playing 30 snaps on offense and 30 snaps on defense this week. Maybe it's more team-specific and game-plan-based of, this week we feel like we may only need him for 10 plays on offense, or this week we feel like we need him for 45 plays on offense and 10 plays on defense. Like, I'm interested to see how they handle that
Travis
part of it?
Hunter is who we've been hunting up.
Darn right it is. But the Trevor Lawrence part of this is probably even more interesting to me than Hunter. Like, Lawrence, we're talking about a quarterback that has been paid a huge amount of money. He's got guaranteed money out the wazoo, and he's not going anywhere right now.
Right.
He is only 25. He'll be 26 in October. But doesn't this feel like you need to see it from him this year? Like, I saw Mike Tannenbaum was on ESPN the other day, and he started talking about how, like, if Lawrence doesn't improve this year, then Jacksonville needs to go ahead and draft another quarterback, which is going to be hard to do because they don't have first round pick next year from the Travis Hunter trade.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the way they're going to go. But then he started talking about, like, do you get involved in the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes? But you can't just allow Trevor. His point was you can't just allow Trevor Lawrence to be average to below average again this year and then just trot him back out there again, no questions asked, just because of the money that he's guaranteed. So I don't know how they're going to work through all that. I do know that this is a pretty massive year for Trevor Lawrence, or at least it should be.
Yeah, and they have the offensive pieces around him skill position-wise. Brian Thomas is a good young receiver. You obviously have Travis Hunter. Then you have your running back and Tank Bigsby, and I think they have another one. But you have the pieces around Trevor Lawrence skill position-wise that he can throw to and find and that can help grow, and he can help grow them. It's just a matter of can he put that all together, and so far in his NFL career, he hasn't. I mean, he's been to a playoff game, one said playoff game, but other than that, he hasn't really done anything in the NFL. He's kind of just been an average quarterback, and the reason he got a bonus is because he was just the next quarterback in line, and the Jaguars didn't want to start all the way over. So it's massive for Trevor Lawrence to connect with those young receivers and skill position players, and if he doesn't, it's going to be a problem for Jackson.
What do we think about Liam Cohen?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
that's
former Wildcat.
Liam, that's kind of interesting to me as far as, you know, will it look different? Is he going to be able to unlock something from Lawrence that we haven't seen before? You know,
yeah.
I'm not sure how different it'll look, what they'll do with Hunter. I think it'll be interesting.
Oh, I do
just
too.
To at least see how it goes. But I'm interested to see Liam Cohen's impact, considering how, I don't know about hyped up he is, but, you know, people seem to make it sound like he's the next offensive guy or one of them.
Yeah,
so.
Like, it's interesting because he gets a lot of credit, and deservedly so to some degree, for what Baker Mayfield did last year, right?
In Tampa,
like,
yeah.
Baker Mayfield, he completed 71% of his passes, 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, 16 picks. So Mayfield obviously played really well for Tampa Bay last year.
But didn't he do okay under Dave Canales?
That's the thing. Like, the year before that, his numbers were also really good. Like, under Dave Canales, it got him the head coaching job in Carolina. So how much of it
Cohen,
is
– and it kind of kept going.
Yeah, like, to his credit, it didn't just crater. So, like, he obviously was doing something right there. And, you know, I don't know that I'm going to go as far as to call, like, Baker Mayfield just totally system-proof. But you are talking about two different offensive coordinators in back-to-back years down there that have done well enough with him to land head coaching jobs around the league. So, like, I do think that you have to look at Baker Mayfield and be like, well, he's played pretty well with two different offensive coordinators, and that offense, you got Mike Evans and all these things. Like, the big thing with Jacksonville that I am interested to see, like, they've had basically no semblance of a running game, and do they have one this year? Because that may help Trevor Lawrence as much as anything else, is if you've actually got threats to run the football and you commit to it. Like, I don't think there's been the commitment to it that you need to have. And I'm not saying you got to run the ball 50% of the time, but you got to have some consistency to it where the defense has to think about it. And you're right. I mean, they've got Bigsby. They got, you know, Travis Etienne down there. Like, they've got some good backs. At least I think they've got some good backs. So I'm interested to see how Cohen kind of handles that this year.
Yeah, I just – watching Liam Cohen as the offensive coordinator in 21 for Kentucky with that Will Levis, Wandell Robinson group, he did some good things. And then the next year, he did some awful things. And since then, it's been kind of, you know, what is he going to do? And he's been fine, I guess, to based on which system he's been. I just have a hard time believing he's going to make it as a head coach, especially given how raw he is. He's never had head coaching experience, and I get it. That's how the system works. You start as a coordinator, you make your way up to a head coach, but I just think he's too inexperienced at that position and too inconsistent as a play caller.
Well, and this all leads back to the Titans part of it, because I think what we've highlighted here is that they're in a division that is kind of in flux right now. Like, I have no idea what the quarterback future looks like for Indianapolis. You know, Trevor Lawrence, I'm starting to wonder, is he just not very good? Like, is that just what he is heading into this year? So it's a huge year for that. And Houston, I feel the best about Houston, obviously, with Stroud at quarterback. But even them, like, there's some big question marks with their roster, particularly on offense this year. And they fired their offensive coordinator a year ago. So it's a long way of saying, you know, this is a division that you look at. And even if it's not as soon as this year, if Ward hits, like if Ward is the guy you think he is, then it shouldn't take very long in this division for you to start to really compete for it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because all these other teams are in flux in there too when you're talking about Jacksonville and Indianapolis specifically. So it's a division right now for the Titans that if you have hit on your guy at quarterback, it should be one where you could turn things around pretty quickly based on the status of these other teams right now. Unless, you know, Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson just come out and are amazing this year, yeah, and Travis Hunter is the greatest football player we've ever seen and just, you know, single-handedly carries Jacksonville to the playoffs. Maybe we're having a different discussion at the end of the year. But just looking at the lens of it right now, it's a division that is in flux.
Yeah, it's such a quarterback-lacking division. I mean, outside of C.J. Stroud, you have Cam Ward, who's unproven. You have Trevor Lawrence, who has proven to be average, and you have a quarterback battle in Indianapolis, and neither of them seem to be very good. So you're right. It is, if you have your guy in Cam Ward, it should be pretty, I don't want to say easy because nothing is easy in the NFL, but it should be not out of the picture to compete for the AFC South with that quarterback.
Yeah, and again, I'm not even talking about as soon as this year, because I just think there are a lot of deficiencies on the Titans roster.
Yeah, like,
there just are.
Too many holes.
But if you've got your quarterback and you continue to build the right way, it's not like you're playing in the AFC West right now or the NFC North, where you look around and you're like, man, all these teams are pretty good. Like, that's not what the AFC South is right now.
Yeah.
And that should, like, if you're the Titans trying to build your team out, like, I think you are looking at the rest of your division right now and you're like, well, there's an opportunity here if we continue to make the right decisions and we found our guy at the quarterback spot. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Speaking of quarterback, a comment made on ESPN yesterday about a quarterback room in the NFL that is pretty amazing to think about when you actually put it into reality, if that's the way it's going to go. Schefter had himself a take yesterday. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.